Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning up on the top of his staff. You may be seated. When we talk about worship, sometimes it's illy defined. Sometimes we think that praise and worship are synonyms, which they really are not. The Bible defines praise as a garment. Put on the garment of praise. So if praise is a garment, worship is an umbrella. There's a great array of things under the umbrella of worship. So the text is, by faith, Jacob worshiped. There is another text I'll share with you. It's John 4:23. It is God's message to a serial adulteress. He goes all the way from one of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, one of our founding fathers of faith. He goes all the way from him to a woman that had been married five times, was living with a man that was not now her husband, and shares with her the principle, "For the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So there is a great array of things under the umbrella of worship. What is worship? Is it lifting of your hands? Is it clapping? Is it singing? Is it dancing? All of these things are praise that come under the umbrella of worship. But worship really is a lifestyle. So when you got up this morning and made the decision, "I'm going to the Father's house," as David said, "dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That very decision is an act of worship. That very journey of getting from where you live to God's house, that's part of your worship. And then coming in here and beginning to sing God's songs of praise, lifting your hands, clapping, all of these are acts of praise that are under the umbrella of worship. But when we read the text, it's a great text. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. True faith knows no age. It knows no age limit. True faith is transgenerational. True faith produces true worship. Jacob worshiped when he was what? Dying. Jacob worshiped when he was leaning on his staff. Jacob blessed other people. Worship always causes you to want to bless other people. Jacob worshiped when he was leaning, when he was vulnerable, no longer able to stand strong as a young man. But now he's leaning on a cane, lean on a crutch, lean on a staff, and he's still a worshiper. Jacob worshiped when he was dying. Why was that? Because his worship was born of faith. You know, we see so many people in God's church today around the globe, and they're praisers from Australia, the Great Hillsong Ministries, and all the praise that is going forth around the world. And you ask yourself, what motivates these people? But to bring it a little closer to home, to deal with individuals and watch people come and go, and they're here for not many, but some are here for a lifetime. But most are here for a season, and they're praisers, many of them great praisers while they're here. They praise in song, and they praise in dance, and they praise in their talent and with their treasure. But after a while, you see that they are no longer participatory in what God is doing. You say, "I wonder what happened," because praise can be a very temporal thing. But worship is a real lifestyle that endures if it is born of the right thing. But so much praise and so much worship is born of something, and many times it is trouble. People come to the house of God and come to God when trouble comes to their house. When they realize they're sick, maybe for the first time in their life, they start coming to God's house, maybe begin to search his scriptures and begin to listen to preachers on television because they need help. And so they become a worshiper, but that worship is born out of trouble. Then there's another group of people that they come to God's house and they see the blessing of the Lord and they covet that. They want God's blessing to be upon them. We're a great coveter of favor. We want the favor of the Lord. And so people begin to worship the Lord because they want the favor of God. And so they worship out of trouble or they worship out of prosperity. Those things really produce more praise than true worship. But when you are a worshiper, that your worship is born of faith. And the Bible said by faith, Jacob when he was dying. By faith, Jacob when he was dying. Friend, there is a lifestyle of worship that will see you through every circumstance of life and every situation. The Bible condemns in great strong tones in the book of James, variableness, hot and cold in the book of Revelation is condemned. And God wants us to be people that are very consistent. And so if we are true worshipers, and Jesus uses that term at the well, talking to the woman that was married five times. And so he uses that term, true worshipers, to distinguish them from perhaps not fake worshipers, but fragile worshipers, those people that only worship sometimes and only in certain seasons of their life. True worshipers worship God in all the seasons of their life, when they're young and when they're old and everything in between. When times are tragic and when times are terrible, but when times are triumphant and when times are good, their worship does not vary according to season or circumstance or situation. They are true worshipers, Jesus said. And so Jacob was a true worshiper. He worshiped when he was dying. He worshiped when he was leaning. He worshiped when he realized that he was not going to have very many days on this earth. He was still a worshiper. And so James said to us, he writes to the church, and he said, show me your faith. Show me your faith. We are to be people that manifest our faith. Peter would write, and he would say, you should show forth your praise, or you should demonstrate your worship. God wants us to be true worshipers. True faith will produce true worship in adverse circumstance. When Jacob was old, he was still a worshiper. When Jacob was sick, he was still a worshiper. When he was dying, he was still a worshiper. His faith created a lifestyle of worship. And so the Bible takes us in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John to the well where Jesus encounters this woman that has had a tragic lifestyle. She is a miserable, miserable woman. But the Bible said it this way, said Jesus must go through Samaria. It was not the chosen route. It was not something the GPS suggested. It was not the most direct route. Jesus was motivated to go to Samaria for one reason. And that was, the Bible teaches us that worshipers are a necessity to God. God seeketh such to worship Him and praise Him. Today, God is seeking those that have faith, and those that have faith, it will be born in them to be true worshipers. You cannot have faith without worshiping God. Once you begin to understand who God is, once you begin to understand what God has done for you and the motivation of God's acts toward you, which is true love for you, there is no way that you will not be a true worshiper. So it's an understanding that is born of faith. I believe that God is. And so, ladies and gentlemen, your worship cannot be decided by the beat of the music or the lyric of the song, or the time of the circumstance, or the season of your life. Friend, you are a spirit that lives in a body, and your body should never, ever decide when you are going to be a worshiper. A true worshiper is a worship in spirit. That's a little S. It's not talking about His spirit. It's talking about your spirit that lives inside of you. I am a true worshiper. There are so many people that worship God until something comes along and it takes the worship out. I know in ladies, and there's some of you here that this would apply to you, when you are desiring to have a child and you miscarry that child, it is a traumatic thing. I have seen a number of women that it totally destroyed their faith and they became less of a worshiper or a worshiper not at all. Friend, I'm telling you that there is something in mankind. When your faith is so strong that you become a worshiper, no matter what the devil aborts, no matter what comes against you, you say it will not affect my worship. Some people attend service because things are bad at home. Some people attend service because things are good at home. But some people just attend service. It doesn't matter because they are true worshipers. Some people give because they have now had an abundance come into their life. And some people give because they are broke and they want to sow a seed. But a true worshiper just gives. It's just a part of our lifestyle. We do not change. What I'm talking about, a God that has no variableness in Him. And if we are to be like God, we have to take the variableness out of us. Our worship should be in the morning. It should be at noontime. It should be in the evening. It should be at good times and it should be at bad times. It should be when we are well and when we are sick. It should be when we are young and when we are old. And so worshipers are a necessity to God. He must needs go through Samaria. God today is looking for worshipers. You say, my life is in pieces. I don't want you to raise their hand, but is there anybody in this building today that's got real trauma in your life? You've got real tragedy in your life. You've got real enemies that have come against you, whether they be people on a job or whether they be some kind of a physical illness, no matter what it is, it's a real enemy about your well-being. And you say, my life is just in pieces. Let me tell you that God wants to put your life together. He wants to reassemble you in a new fashion like you've never been before, but it starts with true worship. You've got to make up your mind, I will be a true worshiper. And God can look in your heart. You cannot con God. You can't play a shell game with God and ask Him which shell the pea is under. God knows all the time what you have done, what you are doing, and God knows what you will do. God had the ability to look into Samaria and see a woman that slept with a different man nearly every night. But He said, you know what? That's a special kind of woman because she has in herself the ability to be a true worshiper. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you that God loves you regardless of how much pieces your life is in. And God is making an appeal to you today. And He said it starts with true worship. If you will become a true worshiper, if you will become a true worshiper, I can put you back together again. That's what God is saying. You know, I find it's interesting that this woman that was living such an abhorrent lifestyle, that was not what Jesus addressed first. Because He realized that she couldn't help herself. Friend, worship, true worship, is for people that cannot help themselves. You say, I just can't do better. I just can't be a better wife. I can't be a better husband. I can't quit this negative habit. I just can't quit. God said, I'm not asking you to quit before I make an investment. God said, I'll make an investment in you before I ask you to make an investment in me. God said, if you will become a true worshiper that is born of faith. What is that? You've got to believe that God is. Do you believe there is a God? What kind of a God is He? The greatest mistake that man makes is not to recognize who Jesus Christ is. You understand, He is not just the Son of God. He is that. He is not just a man. He is that. He's not just a rabbi. He is that. But He's Emmanuel, God with us. I looked at the pitiful little guy carrying the sign that said, bring Jesus back and we'll kill him again. That's a man that simply does not understand that you can't kill Christ because He is the omnipotent God in the flesh. Praise God. He is Emmanuel. Real worship is born of somebody that has faith. And what do they have faith in? Not that their circumstances are good, not that they've got money in the bank. They don't lean to their own understanding. But praise God, their faith is in one thing, and that is God is. And that God is love. And that God is a good God all the time. That God is a rewarder to them that diligently seek Him. If they knock, He'll answer the door. If they ask, He will deliver. If they seek, they will find. It's faith. It makes you a true worshiper. Everything does not go my way. Everybody does not say yes to me. Every investment I make does not return the gain that I want it to. But none of that is what I base my worship on. I'm going to be here in good times or bad. I'm going to be here no matter who's in the White House or who's in the State House. I'm going to be here no matter how much money I got in the bank or how much money I don't have in the bank. By the help of God, I'll get up and come here when I got a headache or a heartache. It does not matter because I am a true worshiper. I can't quit worshiping God because my worship is born of faith, not of circumstance or situation. I just believe that He's a good God. I believe He is my Creator. I believe He is my friend that will stick closer than my brother. I believe that He is my way where there is no way. I believe He is my helper. I believe He is my instigator. I believe He is my motivation. I believe He is my provider. I believe that God has taken me to raise, and He's doing a pretty good doggone job of it. Praise God. He's shaping me and molding me every day in His image. And so all I can do is say, I am a worshiper. I am a worshiper. I am a worshiper. Because my worship is born of faith, I can't stay in the doldrums. I can't stay in depression. I can't stay in the bed. They said, this is the house of the Lord. Oh, I get to go to God's house. Why? Because my worship is born of faith. Number one, worshipers are a necessity to God. Number two, He will go out of His way to find them. You weren't easy to find. Some of you hid. You hid behind people. You hid behind a beer bottle. You hid behind a drug syringe. You hid behind a lifestyle. You hid behind pitiful failure. You hid behind great success. But you could not hide from God, because God read the language of the heart. And He said, there is born a true worshiper. I've just got to reveal myself to them, and they will never leave me. Jesus said, will you leave also? And Peter said, to whom will we go? Friend, Jesus said, to whom will we go? There is nobody I want to go. Jesse Duplantis was telling me that he preached one of the last times he ever preached for John Osteen in Houston, Texas, when they were in the building that Brother Osteen built. It seated 8,400 people. And Jesse said, that morning that I preached, every seat was filled. 8,400 people. John Osteen was an amazing man. He was a really sweet guy, but he was very smart. And I don't know why he did this, but he said, there's 8,400 people here. And he said, I want everybody that's been here to help me build this church since the very first day I began, I want you to stand with me. And one guy stood up out of 8,400. He's the only one that had been faithful through it all. And said, Brother John said, how about you, buddy? You going anywhere? And the guy said, I'm here till I die, John. Friend, people come and go, but God is with you forever. God is with you forever. You can't put your confidence in man. You see, because God went out of His way to find you. There are people sitting in this building that do not have one other family member that is a Christian. You're the only one out of a flock, out of a group. Or maybe you're one of two or three out of 12 or 50. And you're here today and you love Jesus Christ. Do you know how difficult it was for Christ to track you down and to convince you? Do you know how many times God whispered in your ear before you said yes? You said no a million times, and finally one day you said yes. I had a lady here this past Sunday. I talked to a beautiful lady, and she said, this lady, and she pointed to one of the ladies here in the church, said, she just won't let me alone. She said, she just made me come. And she said, I'm so glad she did. I've found something here in this building today. Praise God. But God will go out of his way to find a true worshiper. Friend, I've made up my mind. No matter what happens in this country is in a perilous place. It's been a very strong country, but it's shaking right now to its very foundational roots. But no matter what happens in this country, it will not affect me because I am a true worshiper. I will worship God in good times and in bad, because praise God, I know this, that worshipers are a necessity to God, and I know that he went a long way out of his way to find me. When God asks for worship, remember this. When you feel the tugging of God to worship, remember what worship is. It's your lifestyle. When God asks you to worship him, to come to his house, to pray at your house, to give, to share, to testify, to bring your faith and share it with somebody else, to give. When God asks you to praise, to sing, to teach a Sunday school class, to dance, to be in the worship team, whatever God's calling you to worship, remember this. When God calls you to be a true worshiper, get ready for transformation, because God will transform you. Tiffany said something so real today. She didn't feel like when God called her to be the children's pastor that she was qualified, but she said yes. Friend, I can tell you this. You'll never be qualified for what God calls you to do. You have to say yes, and then he qualifies you. I am the prime example in this building today of not being qualified when God called me to be a preacher. I was so pitiful and so shy and so bashful that I couldn't get up in front. I used to do good in school. I could do good, very good, not even do my homework and just breeze through school. But one thing I couldn't do, if I had to give an oral report on anything, I'd just take an F for that class. I was too embarrassed to stand up in front. And I know what some of you are saying right now. You're saying, I'm giving you an F today, preacher. Well, shame on you. Shame on you. You were giving me an F for faith. I know what you mean. Praise God. But when God asks you for worship, prepare for transformation. If you'll say, God, I don't know how. I'm not a singer. I'm not a dancer. I'm not a Sunday school teacher. I'm not an usher. I don't have a big personality to be a greeter. But when God asks you to worship him, if you'll say yes, get ready for a transformation. Because you understand this woman at the well, five husbands, living with one that was not her husband, and we don't know how many in between. And God spoke to her, and he said, you are getting ready to be the next Marilyn Hickey. Remember her? God said, you're getting ready to be Joyce Meyer. And she said, let me ask my boyfriend. She was not prepared at all. But God saw she had the capacity to be a true worshiper. If you have the capacity to be a true worshiper, God will take you that are so ill-prepared, and he will transform you into something that will not only change your life, it will change the kingdom of God. God is in this place today. And I think about it like when he walked among the multitude, and the man that had been laying there for 38 years, he was the only one that responded yes. And I don't have any biblical information about it, but I don't think that was the only one that Jesus spoke to. He was just the only one that said yes. Jesus is walking in this building today, up and down these aisles and through these pews. And you know what he's looking for? He's not looking for somebody with a degree on the wall. He's not looking for somebody that's got over $1 million in a bank account. What he is looking for is true worshipers that will not excuse themselves. You say, well, I need to recuse myself. You know what recuse? That's what judges do when they feel like they might have a vested interest. I want to recuse myself. Friend, you can't recuse yourself in this. God said, I'm looking for such to worship me. And you have absolutely no excuse, because God will take worship from anybody. It doesn't matter what color you are or what age you are. It doesn't matter what talent you have or don't have. God just said, I'm seeking such to worship me. And friend, you will become a true worshiper when you get true faith, when you really believe that God is all the Bible says he is. I believe he is the Almighty. I believe that God can perform that which he has promised. I don't believe anything's too hard for God. I'm not alarmed by the state of this world when we see such tragedies as we saw this world, this, this week, I'm not alarmed by that because I believe that God is greater than the calamity of our generation. I believe He is a God that is in control. And so praise God. When God asks you for worship, get ready for transformation. Suddenly this woman that was a serial adulteress becomes an evangelist of the New Testament. God's religion and tradition cannot prevent a true worshiper. You say, well, I don't have the background. I don't like to call denominations, but this church is a lot different than a Jehovah's Witness church. One of the greatest ladies in this church was raised and was a convert of the Jehovah's Witness. That's a totally different deal. But when she heard the message of Jesus Christ, that religion could not stop her. She's here every time these doors are open. She's a soul winner. She's a mighty God. You said, well, my mother and my dad, they were of a different persuasion. Let me tell you, when God calls you to be a true worshiper, your past religion and your past tradition cannot stop you. This woman could not be stopped. As sordid as her lifestyle was, as strong as her tradition was, Jesus was reeling her in. He's a fisherman of men. That's what He wants to make us. Praise God. There are people in this building right now that God's got their hook, His hook in your jaw. And you say, well, I'm coming to church. Oh, that's not enough for God. God wants you not only in the building. God wants you in the kingdom. He's reeling you in. God wants you not just to observe, but God wants you to be a participant. God is reeling you in, not just a participant. God wants you to be a leader, not just to sit and warm a pew. God said, I'm seeking such to worship Me in spirit and in truth. God is looking for true worshipers. And you say, I just don't have the ability. And my tradition and my religion, religious back, it doesn't matter. God said, whosoever will, He's in this building right now. And God is asking for volunteers that they just cannot help but praise God when they realize what an awesome God He is. When they realize what a majestic God He is, when they realize what a loving God He is, they say, I will be a true worshiper in every sense of the word. Not only praising in the temple and the tabernacle, but I will live a lifestyle that is a light in this world. God's gift is always greater than His request. To this little woman, He said, give me a drink of water. Just give me a drink of water. She was shocked. You being a Jew would ask me a Samaritan? When God asks you for something, it's not because God can't provide it for Himself. It's just better. I love ham sandwiches. You take fresh bread, ham, lettuce, tomato, mayo on toasted bread, and you have to slice it in those little triangles. Sister Becky brings those to me in bed. When she's not around, I go to the refrigerator and I throw a piece of bread out on the counter, throw some ham on it, too lazy to cut up the lettuce, skip the lettuce, don't want to slice the tomatoes. They're right there in the produce drawer. So I settle for just ham and mayo, slap it together, wolf it down. It just ain't the same. That's when she provides it for me. You don't have anything that God needs, but you have a lot that God desires. He desires you to be a true worshiper. He can do it for Himself, but He wants you to do it because He loves you. God is speaking to people in this building right now, and He said, if you will become a true worshiper, it doesn't matter about the rubble of your life. It's suddenly going to all work together. All things work together. God said, I am going to reassemble them. God's gift is always greater than His request. And you say, well, you know, I just can't believe that God wants me to tithe. It's so hard for me to get a hold of this money. 10%. God said, you can keep 90. But God said, I'll take that 10% and I'll multiply it. Because God's gift is always greater than His request. Always. We're familiar with the story of the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and said, what must I do? Jesus knew what he had done. He went down all the list of things the guy had already done. And that guy said, I feel pretty doggone good about myself right now. And Jesus said, one more thing. He said, sell what you have and give it to the poor. He said, I don't feel so good about myself now. And the Bible said he went away sorrowful. Now, this is just a theory. It's not a doctrine. You don't have to buy into it. You know, Judas was God's banker. He was Jesus' banker. He carried the bag. We see what happened. It didn't work out too good. You got trouble when you got a crooked banker. You know that? A banker that will steal, you got a real problem. I believe that the rich young ruler was supposed to be Jesus' banker. He was used to handling a lot of money. But if he had said yes to the Lord, I believe Jesus was to make him the richest man in the New Testament, because God's request is always less than his gift. And if God is asking you for something today, I wish you'd just become a true worshiper and say, yes, God, whatever you say. It's not just money. Money is the easiest thing to give. Do you know that? I find that a lot of times now I just want to give money to something. That's what the government does. We have a problem. Say, we got an opioid problem. Just throw money at it. Money is much easier to do than to give your time, your affection, to invest yourself in. We've got people in this church that you really support the church financially. Can I say thank you very much for that? But that's all we see out of you is your checks. It's about time you start teaching a Sunday school class. It's about time you become a greeter. It's about time you become a worship leader. It's about time you become a praiser. It's about time you become an usher. It's about time you got highly involved, because God wants you to be a true worshiper. And you said, well, I just don't have time. Friend, if you will become a true worshiper, God will make more time for you, because God himself is time. Time means nothing to God. Former lifestyles and sins cannot disqualify a true worshiper. Jesus used this woman in particular. He didn't use a woman that had a one-time affair. This woman had a lifestyle that was embarrassing to the kingdom of God, and Jesus chose her. God said, I want to show the world that they are without excuse. I don't care who you are. It cannot stop you from being a true worshiper. In closing, one last thing. Only true worshipers can offer any hope to change in this world. This world is in trouble. And you can think what you want to. I don't think Obama was out to destroy this country. I don't think Donald Trump's out to destroy this country. I don't think George W. Bush was out to destroy this country. And I don't think the next person will be out. I just think they're out of answers. They're truly out of answers. Because the only thing that is going to straighten this country up is the thing that's going to straighten this world, is when people come back to God. So you know what that means? This little woman that was known throughout the city as an adulteress was able to go back into that same city and bring all those men to meet Jesus Christ. And the great church was born from that one woman. What are you saying? I'm saying only true worshipers can change the environment of America and this world. The Church of the Living God is really the culprit here. It's not the Republican Party or it's the Democrat Party. They just don't know. They don't know how to do any better than they're doing. They're trying. You say, man, that's a crazy idea. We are now in the age of extreme ideas, and they're not working. Friend, it comes back to the doorstep of the church. If this church, just the people that are here, you say, well, yeah, but other people. No, just us. If everybody that comes to this church comes every week, writes checks every week, if we would become true worshipers, this place would catch on fire. And if this place catches on fire, believe me, fire is a very difficult thing to control. It will leave here and jump across the road and down the street and somewhere else. And San Antonio would become ablaze with what God wants. And if San Antonio, only San Antonio, if we could have that revival in San Antonio, friend, I promise you, it would reach Austin. It would reach Corpus. It would jump to Houston, Texas. God is calling us to be true worshipers. True worshipers mean I'm devoted to God. I'm devoted to his kingdom. I'm devoted to his church. I'm devoted to his people. I believe that he's the only hope, and I believe he's worthy of praise. Friend, I have been serving the Lord a long time now. and I see so much failure when I look in the mirror. But when I look upon his face, I see no failure at all. He's never cast me away. He's never told me to get away. He's never stopped. He's never shut the door. He's never cut off the spigot. He's never said enough is enough. He just keeps blessing me. And when I fall, he just keeps picking me back up. Oh, this Lord that I'm talking about is worthy, not of people that just want to give the Lord an occasional praise, but he is worthy of true worshipers that worship him on Monday and Friday, Saturday and Sunday. They worship him in this building. They worship him on their job. Praise God. In this building, you need to become an active praiser. You say, well, I just enjoy watching other people praise. Well, that's not really getting it for God, because God didn't call you to be a paid spectator. God called you to be a player on the court. Praise God. God drafted you because he intended for you to score some points and get in the end zone and to score the basket. God wants everybody that comes here. Hey, if you are a visitor, I want to give you an exemption. You can sit there and just fold your hands and watch. Say, wow, I never saw nobody do that before. I never seen that before, because you went to one of those other churches. You have an exemption if you're a visitor. But after you've been here about 60 days, you have no more exemption. Now you got to unfold your hands. You got to lift them toward heaven and say, hey, I know the God they're talking about. He's worthy of a song. He's worthy of a hand clap. He's worthy of a dance. He's worthy of a praise. And hey, I am a real praiser. I am a true worshiper. Stand on your feet and lift your hands and give God some praise. Hallelujah. I've told you a dozen times in 44 years about the boy in Missouri. Just a jerk. Just a hoodlum, just mean, just harass people and bully people and break into stuff and steal stuff. But one night he came under that. I was just a kid before I ever married Becky. I was just a kid preaching under a tent in Missouri. He came in, sat in the back seat just to be a jerk because some of his family was there, just to cause trouble and hassle people. But that one that goes out of his way to seek true worshipers went back to the back row underneath that tent and found Billy and brought him to that altar. He didn't shake my hand, sign a card. He got transformed. Remember this. Remember this. When he calls you to be a true worshiper, expect transformation. He was gloriously saved. He was what we used to call a dandy. What's a dandy in a revival? That's somebody that not only gets saved, everybody in town knows they got saved and they're going to make a difference. There's such a drastic change in them. He went to high school. He was just a thug at school. He went to high school, and they could see right away he was different. And his friends, what had been his so-called friends and peers, they began to mock him and make fun of him. And so the teacher left the study hall room, and they began to mock him. And one of them said something like, you going down there? He said, yeah. He said, not only that, he said, I want to sing you a song we sing down there. He was just as strong for Jesus as he'd been for the devil. He started singing. A few little guys around there, girls, they kind of knew the song and started singing with him. When the school teacher came back, kids were laying all over the floor. Seven people were baptized in the Holy Ghost because of one true worshiper. You can make a difference in your world. And God is asking you to. And you say, I can't, because you've got five husbands and you're a serial adulteress. Is that the reason why? I'm sorry. That does not exclude you. God said, I want you just like you are. Those drug tracks don't mean a thing to God. Your past doesn't mean a thing to God. God said, come out of that pew right now and make a commitment. I'm going to be a true worshiper the rest of my life. Even when I'm dying, I'll still be worshiping the Lord. I'll be like Jacob. Is there anybody in this building right now that wants to walk down to this altar and say, Pastor, I want to be a true worshiper? That's somebody that's been here for 40 years or somebody that's been here for 40 minutes. It doesn't matter. If the Holy Spirit has come down looking for you, would you respond by walking down this aisle right now and say, here I am. Here I am. Praise God. Here she is. God wants to make you a true worshiper. in the name of Jesus. He will change your life so you can change everybody else's life. Are you ready? In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.